Well, praise the Lord. We're going to be doing a baby dedication today. I'm looking out. I don't see any of my babies. Oh, there's one of them. All right, I think we have two today. And we always look forward to dedicating children. It gives pastor an opportunity to speak to the parents, actually. Baby dedications are not for the children so much as they are for mom and dad and maybe others that will help us, family members, and help us raise these precious children that we're going to be dedicating today. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity, and we just pray your blessings upon the words that are going to be spoken here today. Use your servant, God. Get into the hearts of mom and dad and let us hear what the word of the Lord says. Let us receive wisdom. Nothing more important, Father, than the breath of life that you have given to these parents. Eternal life abides within that child. Lord, help us to guide our children properly, Father, so that we can help them to make the right choices when their time comes to decide to serve you. God, we just ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Say amen. Well, bless you. You can be seated. I tell you, I wish we were able to somehow convince the whole church, especially parents that have children, or I guess all parents have children, it's for the parents, but those that have children to be here on baby dedication, to make that effort once, four times a year, I believe it is, every 3 or 4 months, we have baby dedication, to be here and to hear the words of the Lord. I tell you, there is no greater challenge today than raising our children in this generation and somehow keeping them focused, you know, with everything that is going on in the world, everything that's reaching out to them for their attention. And then so subtly and subliminally, in all the things that they grab their attention with, the world puts in their little message, hides it in between the lines, in between the pictures, to program our children to accept their ways, accept their sin and their immorality. And if it didn't have an eternal consequence, maybe we wouldn't pay so much attention to it. But it has an eternal consequence with our children. And so it's our job, mom and dad, church, loved ones, friends, to do our best to influence, program, get into the hearts and the minds of our children a godly foundation so that when they are old, they will not depart from these ways. When they come to the moment in time when they can actually begin to make cognitive decisions for themselves, reasonable decisions, where they decide what is right and what is wrong. Somehow we need something inside of them that is the foundation of that decision that helps guides them. And so this isn't going to happen by accident. This isn't something that by default is going to be placed into the hearts and minds of our children. This is something as parents, we must plan out. We must think through. And we must be active in their lives. We need to make sure our homes are in such a way that there is a godly influence. And I'm going to talk to us about that for a few minutes. But that we surround our children with godly influences. That throughout their life, especially the younger years, parents, listen to Pastor, listen to me. You cannot say, well, we'll fix things and we'll get better when they turn 2, when they turn 4, when they turn 7 and they're able to maybe start really comprehending what's going on. You can't do that. They have to grow up in that environment. Science tells you that by the time that precious baby that you have is 5 years old. Think about that. 5 years old. How many of y'all remember your youngins when they were 5 years old? Right? That was awesome, sister. Which the little one's name right there by you. She don't even know I'm talking to her. She just thinks I'm shooting out over the audience there. She raised her hand when I said, how many of y'all remember when your kids were 5 years old? She had that hand up in the air. You know, we look at them and we think, well, they don't even really know what's going on. Well, we're not going to take them to Disney World till they're 12 because we want them to be able to enjoy Disney World, right? There's certain things that you just don't do with little children because, well, if you do, you're wasting your money. But because they're just not going to really be able to comprehend. However, what we don't understand is that little brain up there, which is connected to the soul and the spirit of man, that little brain, that 6 cubic inches of gray matter that God created between their little ears, that by the time they're 5 years old, 70% of everything that your child's brain will ever store, it's already done. It's the entire foundation of the premises of decisions have already been laid inside of that child's heart and mind. And that's the reason why when they grow older and we start deciding that we're gonna teach them right and show them right things, you know, when they get 8, 9, 10, 11 years old and it's time to start telling Junior what's right and wrong. You know, it's time to start telling little Shaney what's right and wrong. No, you're too late. And it blows your mind that when they get 13 and 14 and 15 years old, they start making decisions that are so foreign, so against basic moral and godly beliefs. And you say, how can you make those decisions? Because when they were 3, 4, and 5 years old, you were allowing things in your home that built that foundation in their life that has corrupted the ability for them to make good decisions. Now, I know God can step in. Dear Lord knows I wasn't raised right. Most of you weren't any either. When we got older, God stepped in and renewed our minds. But we lived evil all our lives, so we were able to discern. But if you're raising a child in a home that's on the fence, and so there's godly influence there, but there's ungodliness there as well, and you're allowing these things to influence their life at a very young age, when they get older, it becomes very convoluted and difficult for them to make clear, decisive decisions. I cannot stress to you as a parent enough that you must start today. You must take that one-year-old child and put he or she upon your knee, Dad, and read the Word of God to that baby. And let that baby hear the word of God every day, every day, every day. Bring them to church every Sunday and Wednesday if possible. Get them in the house of God. Get them around godly influences as they're growing up so that their brain can better assimilate and understand right and wrong. Because they are going to be influenced by government. They are going to be influenced by the educational system. They're going to be influenced by their surroundings of the neighborhood. They're going to be influenced by the media that is thrown at them. In the midst of all of this evil influence and ungodliness, we've got to take them and we've got to influence them. You say, well, what chance do I have? The school has them 8 hours a day. What chance do I have? Media and all the things that come at them. I'm here to tell you, you have every chance. You have 100% chance if they will see God in you as their parents. And if you will live godly, behave godly, have godly things in your home and raise them to understand godliness, you have 100% chance. Remember the story in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2, where the word of the Lord says that the parents of Moses, of course he wasn't named Moses at this time, but the parents of Moses, the mother, I believe Jochebed, that they hid the child for 3 months. Pharaoh had put out a proclamation that every male Hebrew was to be cast into the Nile and fed to the alligators. He was trying to control the population of this mighty army of God that was growing up in their midst. They were in slavery. The Egyptians had them in slavery. They went into slavery with Joseph. It's how God protected them at that time. But then the Bible says there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And he put the Hebrew children into slavery. And because of their growth, he said, we must kill the babies. And the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 2 that they looked upon this child. They saw it was a goodly child. They hid the child as long as they could. But when he was 3 months old, they realized that through his crying and voice that eventually he was going to be found out. So they took little Moses and they put him in a basket, bulrushes, and they placed him in the Nile River. The very thing that was supposed to destroy him became a salvation. And they put him in the Nile River and they sent him down the river. But Moses' sister followed after him. The Bible tells us, no doubt, the providence of God himself, that one of the daughters of Pharaoh had made her way into the river to bathe. And there she sees the little ark coming down the river. And she has it fetched. She has it brought in to her. And she opens it up. The Bible says the baby wept. She had compassion upon the child. And the sister of Moses saw that. Went up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like me to fetch a maid to wean the child, to raise the child? And at that time, there were many women that were still able to breastfeed because their little babies had been taken away from them and cast into the Nile River. And so, but their body was still producing milk. And so the Pharaoh's daughter said, yes. But Moses' sister took Moses and brought him back to his very own mother and said, look what God has done for us. God has put your child back into your hands, but only until he's weaned. That when he's a little older, you've got to give him back to Pharaoh's daughter. He's going to be raised in Egypt. The education of Egypt's going to be put in his brain. The math and theologies and religions and the worship of gods and all of these things are going to be programmed into this little child that later will be called Moses. But mom, you have a little time. Now this is what you don't know, or maybe you do. It was a common thing for The child wasn't actually weaned until usually around 4, sometimes as early as 3, but sometimes as late as 5 years old. So there's no doubt that the mother, Jochebed, kept that baby as long as she could, as many days as she could. She kept that child in her bosom, and every day she would get up and say to little Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love him with all your heart, might, soul, and strength. Moses, there is no other God. The gods of Egypt are false. They can't do anything for you. The only God is Jehovah up in the heavens of heavens. He's the creator of all things." And she put in him as much as she could the ways of God and the things of God. She didn't have him long, probably just unto around 5 years old at the most. But divine providence had made sure that into the heart and mind of Moses was placed the virtues and the values that God held dear. You say, "But she only had them till 5. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you can get it in your babies when they're young, don't wait till they're older. You got to start right now. Get it into the hearts and the minds of your children, who Jesus is, his power, his glory, his love for them, that he is certainly the only way and the only truth and the only light and life in this world. He is that Almighty God. Get it in them. It'll keep them." You know the story. We don't have time to go through all of that. The word of the Lord said when Moses turned 40 years old. And so from the time of 5 to 40, 35 years, Egypt poured into the heart of this child, raised him in the ways of Egypt. History tells us that it was possible one day that he was in line even to be Pharaoh himself. And so he was trained at the best. Everything was put in him. But when the moment came to make a decision of what is right and wrong, the word says that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions of the children of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. I'm here to say, Mom, you can make a difference in that baby. Dad, you can make a difference in your child. But you got to be aggressive. You have to step out. You have to be the one that takes that. It's not going to happen by default. It's not going to happen just because you serve God, because you love God, because you try to please God. You have to be aggressive in putting the word of God and the ways of God and the things of God into the hearts and the lives of your children, so that when they do get older and they find themselves on a school ground or a college campus and it comes to the moment where some definitive decision must be made, they are able to stand there and reach into the depth of their heart, the depth of their soul, and get a hold of something that Mom and Dad put there years ago and say, "I will stand for what is right." My Lord, have mercy. Moms and dads that have children that are serving God, it wasn't by an accident. Listen, I want to tell you, you got to take advantage of everything you possibly can, because even moms and dads who have done their very best have seen sons and daughters seem to make decisions that are not right. Maybe get a little older and leave and go out and begin to explore the ways of the world. You say, "Well, what's their hope?" Are you kidding me? Their hope is everything, because the word of God tells you it's a promise. You put this in them, and they will, when they are old, they will not depart from the way. This will never leave their heart. It'll never leave their mind. You cover them with prayer. And I want to tell you that there's coming a day soon, backsliders are going to start flooding back into the house of God. They're going to come in like a wave, a tidal wave that cannot be stopped. Why? Because God's going to call all these boys and girls home. Mom and dad had put the glory of God in their heart, the law of God, the ways of God, the teachings of God. They have buried deep in their soul. There is no power in hell that can overcome that. Do not miss apply or misunderstand or do not misjudge the power and the influence of God's word in your children's life. We must do our best to put it there. Don't give up and say, what's the use? No, you put the word of God and the ways of God in these children, the things of God in these children. You love them with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now that means, mom and dad, that there's a good chance you're going to change your ways, because your ways aren't right. Your CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. You're not in the house of God every time the door opens. You're not bringing your children to Wednesday night so that our youth pastors can pour into them. And Wednesday night, there's over 100 young people in the back, separated up into classes. And we have middle school pastor. We have a high school pastor, college and career pastor. We have an incredible Sunday school department that right now there's many children in the other rooms of this school that the word of God is being put in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. And we don't just teach some little Sunday school. My teachers understand, as far as I'm concerned, you are preparing that young girl and boy for ministry. My middle school understands, you don't get up there and just deliver some little Sunday school lesson. You are training them for the ministry of God. My high school does the same thing. My college and career. And that's why we have so many young people getting into ministry and leaving and becoming missionaries and are marrying into the ministry. It's because it's put in their heart from Sunday school age. You cannot just let this happen. You need to take advantage of what's being offered you. You ought to be here. Don't let today, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., be the only time you show up for Sunday school. Because you're going to dedicate your children. We have two babies we're dedicating here in just a few minutes. Don't let today be that day. You ought to be here every Sunday at 10 o'clock. As mom and dad, you ought to be an adult sitting right here in this section and listening to one of our ministers teach the word of God so that you yourselves can make sure that you remain on the path. And then your children are being taught. And then you ought to be here on a Wednesday night for youth, and you ought to do your best to save up your money. Forget about Disney World. Save up your money to send them to HYC. Save up your money to send them to youth camp. Over the summer, save up your money, invest, take these monies and put them in your children, and put your children in the hands of men and women who are going to put God in their hearts. Forget about the worldly pleasures. They're all going to fade away. Get God in their hearts. My kids turned 15, 16, 17 years old and wonder why Dad never brought them to Disney. It's not because I think Disney's of the devil. Might be. I don't preach against it. You can go to Disney every weekend if you want to. I don't care if that's where you want to spend your money. Keep God first and keep God right. It's because we didn't have the money. It costs too much money to send them to camp. And then you got to save up to send them to HYC. And then you got to save up to send them to youth congress. I don't have money to bring you to Disney, son. Grow up and get a job, save your money, and go to Disney yourself. We have to learn to invest in our children. I know this hurts, but come on, put your hands together. It's the truth anyway. Listen, the world is doing everything they can to influence your kids. They sneak stuff into Hollywood and media and all of the education and everything. They sneak everything in there to program your children to accept immorality. We cannot just sit back and think that it's just going to happen by default. We have to become aggressive in our children's lives. All right, I'm going to come to a close here shortly, and we're going to dedicate these precious children. The moms and dad that have youngins, make your way forward, if you will. I think we have two babies being dedicated. Is this one of them? Come on down over here, and then I believe over here is being dedicated. And amen. So we have two girls. We've got competition here. I don't think so. I think it's like 100% each. Are they not absolutely beautiful? Okay, now, mom and dad. Okay, and mom and dad. All right, because uncles and aunts and cousins come, and usually grandma's holding the baby. So I dedicate the baby to grandma, thinking it's mom. And so which Avery? This is Avery, and this is Alea. Okay, so double A's. Avery and Alea. Okay, moms and dads, I want you to look at me. We're going to take all kinds. Yeah, give your phones to someone. Let them record and take pictures. Want their cameras in the bag as well? Okay, let's get those out and take pictures of that as well. Okay. Okay, Brother Powell, to get Alea's Bible. And give it to Brother Corinthian. I'm sorry, I didn't see Brother Corinthian. And then Brother Powell, get Avery's. Okay. Brother Corinthian, Brother Powell, I want you to hand the Bible only to the dad. Now, dads, look at me. Dad, look at me. You can look at the Bible later. I'm speaking. You, sir, are the priest of the home. The entire spiritual condition of your home rests on your shoulders. And when you stand before God, however Alea and Avery turns out, you will be judged for that. It's your responsibility. And so it's your job to go home today, because I know you think they're brilliant, but they can't read yet. Give them another month or two. It's your job to take little Avery and little Alea and put her on your knee and open that book up to Genesis 1 and 1 and start and say, Avery, Leah, in the beginning, God. And you read that book to her. No one else is. Did you hear what I just said? No one else is. If you don't put this in your children, no one else is. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to guard the home in authority and power. You're the man of the house. You're to have such a spiritual walk with God that you stay off the powers of the adversary. That you are sensitive to spiritual things that are going on, so that as your little girl grows, you're able to discern what's going on. Now that's going to take a walk with God, Dad. Going to take a walk with God. I want you to take those dedication envelopes and hand it to the mom. Now, mom, we're giving you the dedication certificate because everybody knows it's really mom that makes it happen. You have got to be there as a support to your husband, a strength. Through God and through the Word of God, the law that is laid down in your home If you don't support the man of God in your life that God has given you, if you don't support that, you'll divide your home. Don't ever let it happen where mom, where little Aaliyah or Avery can run to mom. Dad says no, but she can run to mom and get away. Or vice versa, dad. Mom says no, but she runs to dad and gives those big eyes. And dad says, oh, it's okay. I wouldn't. No, 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 no. You agree and you hold strong. And so when dad says, there's none of this in the home, there's none of this in the home, there's none of this in the home, you come in agreement with the word of God. And mom, you support that. You be a strength to that. And if you do that, these two little girls will grow up in a very untoward generation, a generation going away from God, but in the midst of all of the immorality and all of the evil, these two little girls will be bright lights. And while young boys are lusting over the others who are dressed in ungodly, they will honor and respect your daughters because they dress modest and they serve God. But you have to make that happen. You have to make that choice. Congregation, would you stand? We're going to pray first for the babies. Brother Powell, you would, don't touch your face, but just the dress, But lay hands on the children. And we're going to pray for the children. Will you stretch your hand forward? Lord, we stand before you here today. These precious parents have come before you, and they have come in gratitude and thankfulness that you have given these precious children to them. So we lift up before you Avery, we lift up before you Aaliyah. God, we raise them up in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord Jesus, these precious parents are saying, God, you gave them to us, but we give them back to you. We dedicate them back to you to watch over them, to keep them from all childhood diseases. God, to keep them and to watch over them everywhere as they go. Put an angel with these precious little girls. Father, from this day forward, let that angel never leave their side. Always there to protect them and watch over them so that the day will come, Father, Lord, that they will serve you and give their heart and their life to you. So we dedicate them back to you, God. We put them in your hands. Father, we thank you. We bless your mighty name as you watch over them. As we lay hands on the parents, Brother Corinthian, Brother Powell, as we lay hands on the parents, Father, I pray for the mom and dad today. God, I pray that they can find in their heart, deep in their soul, a dedication, a consecration. Lord, unto you, given unto you and to none else. Lord, that they would serve you with all their heart and all their might. God, that they would turn their homes into sanctuaries, that the glory of God would rest there, the power and the love and the blessedness of the Lord would be there, that these children would be raised in a home that glorifies the name of Jesus, that evil has been expelled and cast out, the ways of ungodliness has been removed from the home, and the power of God has come in. Lord, I pray if they are not filled with the Holy Ghost, that you would fill them with your power, baptize them in your name, that they might raise these children to know the only true God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, for wisdom upon these parents. Lead them and guide them as we give our lives to you. Lead them, God, that they might raise these children unto you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you for it. Let's give God praise right now in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.